Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas, and yes, we're live on Foobar Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Stella.
How are you doing, Stella, my love?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I'm feeling powerful today.
I'm excited to have you as my guest co-host.
Yes.
You're in Miss Ellen's chair.
Definitely, and I'm going to do Miss Ellen proud.
Oh, of course you will. Of course you will. So, guys at home, you know that I always bring you a jam-packed show. And this evening is, of course, no different. Now, I'm going to be chatting with one of my celeb SAS friends. Ooh. And we're going to be getting some more SAS too. We've got yes. Mr. Anthony in, and I think we're going to have a good little chat there. I've not really spoke to him properly since SAS, so I'm excited to see how he found it.
Is that you guys can educate me on the SAS.
I will fill you in, babes. It's a tricky one, though, because we're always conscious. I don't want to spill too much tea and do spoilers.
Yes.
But I also like the tea.
Exactly, so, catching up with a friend as well.
Exactly.
So.
And then anything goes when you're catching up with a friend. Plus, we're also joined in the studio by Mike Durrant from Dating Naked. But first, Miss Stella, as you well know, you're the queen of showbiz goss.
Thank you. I love that title.
What has caught your eye this week, my love?
Well, where do I even start? Well, we're going to start with Strictly.
Yes.
Because it really kicked off on the result show because Tom Dean was the first celebrity eliminated. And actually, obviously, with Strictly, we know how it goes. A celebrity has to go every week. But everyone is saying the same thing, being that the wrong person went off first because he was against Toya Wilcox.
Yeah.
And in terms of the dancing, everyone was thinking that Toya was the weakest one. But it was Tom and Nadia's time to go. And yeah, it's causing a little bit of backlash.
I see socials kind of blowing up about this.
It really went off. And Nadia, who is Tom's professional partner, she put on Instagram a photo of both of them, and she put in the caption, "I'm not ready to even talk about what happened last night yet, but thank you very much for like the support." So you could
and
tell
that's
that
saying
it's
something from the professional that's gobsmacked.
Yeah, because this was her second year without a partner. So when she finally got one, it was like, yay. Then to be the first one booted off, it was like, oh.
So do you think as a professional, she's shocked? Because I guess when it is your craft and it is an art.
Yeah.
You would, rightly or wrongly, I guess you in your own head, whatever your industry is you're in, you would know if you was a weaker person or a stronger.
Yeah.
So do you think she probably went into the final two thinking, well, we're going to be all right?
I think so, yeah. And I think whereas with Tom, he showed a lot of great potential as well. And I think that's what caused a little bit of like a bit of disheartening. Because can you imagine as well that you've been on the Strictly sidelines for so long, you finally get a partner. You want to
the
make
minute
it,
you put your labootings on and then the wardrobe are taking them back.
Literally, you want to make it as far as you can.
Of course.
But I'm sure she was probably thinking like I waited all this time and now it happens. But I feel like a lot of fans are calling this a bit of an injustice because there are a lot of people that are saying that no, he was the wrong person went home for week one already. So looks like this year of Strictly is going to be an interesting one if it's already causing a little bit of backlash.
How is it rating still? Have you heard on the journalist grapevine? Because obviously it's not been the best 12 months for Strictly.
That's the thing, yeah. So I think with what the two scandals that have kind of happened, I don't know if that's kind of overshadowed its comeback, because I think it's celebrating its 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
And for a show celebrating its 20th anniversary, you'd be fireworks, all of this, all of that, but the drama is kind of like taken over a little bit. So it's not, I would say people still love it. Of course, Strictly is just one of those shows that naturally people still love, but I would say the drama has kind of done a lot of the overshadowing this year.
Viewing figures wise, are less people tuning? So a lot of people was up in arms because of the two scandals. Obviously, it's always going to have its ride and dies.
Yeah, of course.
And it's part of so many of our lives, Strictly, because it has been around for 20 years.
Exactly,
it's been around longer than I've been alive.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. So I think viewing figures wise, it hasn't done too badly. Like, it's not in the pits, it's not in the trenches, still safe, but I think other figures have been better, but it's still doing all right.
It's holding its own.
Holding its own, yeah, definitely.
Good, good. What else has caught your eye, Miss Stella?
So, from one TV show to another TV comeback, shall I say. So, Philip Schofield is making his TV debut with Castaway. And
I've seen a lot of this on the socials.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because a lot of people are saying that he doesn't deserve to have this TV comeback. What are Channel 5 doing? This is not the place for it because of everything that happened. But from the promo that we've seen, he just wants to share this side of the story, which, to be fair, is there anything wrong with that? Sharing your side of the story where maybe a million and one people have said different things about you that maybe aren't true and you just want to clarify it? Is that, but a lot of people thinking, is Cast Away the right show for him to do that, or should it be a sit down Piers Morgan style kind of interview?
Well, but I think this is kind of it, because I think a lot of people, it seems, again, just looking at social media, it's very much a Marmite situation. Phil's been around for so long, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are people that he can do no wrong, like literally just love him.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, we're so glad to have him back on our screens. Then we've got people that don't quite like what happened.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Naturally,
and
yeah,
they're
yeah,
like, absolutely, we won't be watching. Why are Channel 5 doing this? And then I've seen stuff, I don't know if it's actually come from Phil himself, but they're saying, oh, it's 3 nights worth, so it's 3 hours worth of tell all, and it's for him to get his say across, and he wants 100%. To basically spill the tea.
Yeah.
But he's got no camera crew, no lighting, nothing. It's just him. So really, he can only spill. He's answering his own questions.
Literally.
Whereas I feel like, if that was the case, I wish there was someone on the island asking the questions. Mm. Like, put me on the island with him for
exactly.
3 days. Do you know what I mean?
What would you ask him? What would be your go-to question?
If I had 3 days, exactly that. But it's not like it would be like an ambush.
Mm.
But if he wants to get his point across, I think it would have worked nice if there was someone there to kind of flow as a conversation.
Yeah.
Because he's only going to answer to whether he's doing it on a GoPro or an iPhone. I don't know what the logistics are.
Mm.
He's only answering what he's answering. But again, we do have to make clear, again, everyone, and quite rightly so, have got their opinions on what happened.
Yeah.
But as Philip himself have said, it was an unwise decision, but not illegal.
Yes.
And as we've seen with other people in the media of recent weeks,
mm-hmm.
there's been a lot of illegal stuff, a lot of dark shit.
Mm.
Phil isn't now. Do you know what I mean? So morally is different to legality.
Definitely, yeah. And even from the bits that I've seen as well, he's definitely, well, people have seen that's what he's doing, and I feel like I can see it as well. Definitely a bit of throwing shade at ITV and Holly Willoughby as well.
Oh, is he? Tell me more. Spill the tea still.
I think he was saying something about how everything went down. And do you remember when Holly first hosted her first This Morning show without Phil?
Oh, the monologue.
Are you okay? That is something he does say. And
fuck off,
yeah,
no.
He does say it like that, and it's a bit like, oh, okay, it's a bit of a, and I hope, who is he in reference to?
Shady queen. Now he's come out. He's showing the shade now.
Showing it. So I can tell that in terms of like filmmaking his TV comeback, it is definitely will not be on ITV. I believe from what I can gather, he still has very hard feelings about how everything went down.
Well, this is kind of, in terms of ITV, and again, obviously I worked with ITV full on for 10 years and obviously still do stuff with them now, but so many people, and again people that come in and do your job, showbiz journos, and people that we interview, especially in like the storm of Schofield,
exactly. I love that.
I love a double letter.
Exactly.
Schofield storm. They were saying, oh, I think we're gonna see him in the jungle or Big Brother, and I kept saying, we absolutely won't,
absolutely,
because
not,
ITV now own Big Brother, as they do I'm a Celebrity. I don't think Philip would even take the offer, because it feels like it's put his nose out of joint. He's got the arsehole of ITV,
exactly,
in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, ITV can't be seen to, I know they, it's alleged that he left This Morning, but whatever's happened there, whether it was a see you later or I'm off, get me an Addie Lee, they can't be seen to start throwing checks at him. So
no
whether
way.
It's for the, whether it's This Morning, which that's Romeo Dunn, them days are gone.
Exactly.
They can't go, you can't do This Morning, but you want 500 grand for the jungle.
Exactly. It just won't work.
No, and Big Brother, he was never going to do them shows.
Exactly,
I don't think we'll ever see him on an ITV show again.
Definitely not. It'll be very interesting if that were to happen, but I cannot see at all whether like Philip would even accept it. So,
No.
Not at all.
Finally, before we move on to our last showbiz story, has Holly said anything on the socials?
No, I think as far as like Holly and Phil go, I think that relationship is just that's a no association, nothing as far as what we can see. And I don't think Holly gives me like kind of classy vibes. I don't think she will ever make like any indirects or
she
anything.
She ain't like a sewer rat on the social where she's calling it out. Do you know what I mean? She's a classy girl, our Holly.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think she'll ever say anything anything in retaliation. It'll be very kind of like, I'm going to keep it cute. I'm going to keep it cutesy and like, let me be on my way.
Perfect. So I guess this time next week we'll be talking about the 3 hours of Schofield Island confessions.
Definitely.
I'm intrigued to see. Obviously, I won't be watching live, but I will catch up with it. So, yeah, let's talk about that in a week or two, and I'll see you next. Time for one more showbiz story still.
One more. So, okay, so this was... So, actually, yeah, this is very TV-based, actually. We're going to talk about Big Brother, because that is returning this week. And, again, it's very kind of like I didn't even know this was even happening so soon. I mean, I knew it was making a comeback. It always makes a comeback in autumn. But when I saw the date this Sunday, I was like, this Sunday? Like, that's so soon.
It doesn't feel like there's been much PR or in it. I've seen
really.
A little advert of a couple of guinea pigs running around in a mock house.
Yeah.
But I think I saw that online. But, yeah, there hasn't been... I guess this week there start pushing out AJ and Will.
Definitely,
because we've got to get the host doing, I guess, this morning, Lorraine. Got to get out there and start promoing it, because I literally, until I saw it was Sunday, had no idea it was this week.
That's true, yeah, and I think with shows like Big Brother, I feel like they want to let the hype speaks for itself. So, like, I think sometimes where we've seen, like, shows do so much hype before it even starts, viewers tune in and they're like, oh, like, well, what's this? It's not giving what you guys thought it was going to give at all. So maybe I think they just want to keep it on the low, but then, boom, once Sunday hits, you see the cast, you'll be like, okay, I'm locked in every night at 9.
Big Brother has been around forever. Yeah. It was the OG reality show. I grew up watching Big Brother from Channel 4 days, and then when it moved to Channel 5, and now obviously ITV.
Yeah.
So I love it. And Big Brother is, there's only so much you can promo it, because every year it's a different cast.
Exactly,
Whether that's celebs or civilians, do you know what I mean?
And but the format remains the same. So it's just like, what more
you just
you
know
really
it's
say?
An house. Yeah. I just always like to say, especially back in the day, Channel 4 was really good at doing it. I think, and to be fair, Channel 5 did. They always got the TV and they used to let a lot of press in a day or two before. Yeah. And they'd have to put bags on their shoes so they didn't fuck up the carpets. But I remember the days of when I lived and breathed that show. I was obsessed. What's the house going to be this year?
Exactly.
I want to see the bathroom. I want the bedroom. I want to see the garden.
You don't feel that hype anymore. You're just like, I'll see it when I see it.
No, I want to see it. I want to see the pictures. Do me a little house tour. Even if you put it on, we're in a generation now of internet.
Exactly.
So you can send AJ or Will around the house. Give them give them a camera. The house is full of fucking cameras.
Yeah, give them a TikTok tour.
Yeah,
house,
give us
give
a little tour. Whack it on the socials, whack it on YouTube, but let me see. I want to see the garden. Have they got a pool, a hot tub? I'm guessing more hot tub than pool in this weather.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I'm always excited to see the cast. I must admit, though, I was always, especially as it started early days, loved both celeb and civilian. As years went on, I very much moved more to the celeb ones just because I think people started to... The kind of housemates that was going in there had an agenda.
Yes.
Whereas the early days, it really was a flight attendant, a waiter, a barman. But I loved that. It was
just normal,
everyday
people. Yeah, but when you get people, I guess, that kind of like see the end goal of like, oh, getting a brand deal, getting this, getting that. It's like, it takes the authenticity out that we love.
Absolutely, absolutely. But excited for that. So again, I'm sure that's what we'll be talking about for a good few weeks. Excited to see the characters. But we're going to take a little break, guys, and then we're going to be joined by a friend of mine and a fellow SAS recruit. Woo! We have got Mr. Anthony Agogo, so we'll see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. Foo Bar Radio. What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, strong.
No, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be like. They see like the gym and the muscles and the tattoos and they think I'm going to be like this, like serious, like fuck boy, like lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to Foo Bar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foo Bar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Foo Bar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The Foo Bar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
Grab your backstage passes.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Anthony.
What's happening, mate?
Anthony, right. We're going straight in. My fellow SAS recruit, are you watching the show back?
I am, mate. I missed last night's episode because I was had my mum and my sisters come visit me in Atlanta to visit me. I've been here 5 years. Haven't been out once. She's been born 3 weeks ago. They all came to see her. So visiting my daughter. So I was doing on an airport one yesterday. So I missed yesterday's episode, but I've been loving it, mate. You, and as I said to you at the time, you're the star, Bobby. You are the star, mate. You're literally the star, my favourite person. You are just, you're just TV, mate. You're the best. You're the absolute best.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, bless you, Anthony. I love you for that. Thank you, mate. So there's so much I want to ask about the show, but first things first, I guess let's start chronologically. Oh, fucking hell, that's a posh word.
Look at that.
I've gone all out in Berlin. So chronologically, let's take it back to day one. We all meet, because I was one of the, I think I was the last to arrive, me and Bianca. She was a day after, she had a nightmare with the visa. But I got there and you guys was all in the holding hotel. What was, I mean, obviously with your job, it doesn't seem like much scares you. Like you're a geezer, you're known as the governor, you can have a tear up. Do you have fears and phobias, or are you just a fucking hard geezer?
Do you know what? I don't, mate. If I'm honest, I'm not, this isn't sound this to sound sad, but I'm not really scared of anything. There's from doing SAS, what I learned is there's things I'd rather not do. Yes. Like that Chinasian thing, mate. Like, and people like, no, you, as I said a minute ago, you're the star of the show, you're brilliant. Everyone's like, oh, is Bobby like, is number 15, is he putting it on? I go, nah, mate, like it was so terrifying. And what scared me, right? No, I'm not answering, I don't even get scared. What threw me was we walked down, even a little ladder to get down was scary.
Horrendous.
But what really threw me is you get down the ladder eventually and you stand on that little platform and that wobbled.
Yeah.
The platform wobbled.
Oh, gosh.
And I didn't expect that. And that really threw me because I was like, in my head, I thought I was going to smash it. I thought it was going to be easy. And I really did. I mean, Shazia had a 25-minute argument with Birmingham, standing there, like, and I'm like, oh, this must be easy then, because she can stand there and have an argument. It's going to be easy.
She didn't bat an eyelash, did she? But I don't think it came across on TV how much that shaped or even how high that is.
But we rewind that. If you remember, that morning we got picked up, we got woke up early, it's dark, it's cold, and it's so cold. And when you watch TV, you can see someone shiver and you go, oh, that must be cold, but you can't feel the cold. And like, episode two, they made us dunk our heads in the ice trough. And like, that's not very pleasant. But that shook us to the core how cold it was. Horrible. And then you take your head out and it's cold.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But before that, Bobby, if you remember, like, me and you, we sat together on that drive up to the top of the mountain.
Oh, fucking
and,
hell,
mate,
yeah.
I've still, if I look closely enough, I've still got Bobby Norris fingernail mark in my thigh.
Oh,
where you squeezed
me. You were
me
squeezing so hard.
And that was a, that wasn't even a challenge. That was just going to the first.
Of course.
But it was so... Anthony, again, make me write it, because people think it's a bit dramatic.
Honestly,
it was a
honestly
fucking shig. It was as wide as the van we was in. Like, one wrong turn from that driver, again,
dead.
It's... Dead. You're fucking... It's Velma and Louise. You're off, do you know what I mean?
That's so, the thing. That doesn't translate on TV. And I'm not particularly scared of heights. I'd rather be on the ground. My feet be on the floor. But I'm not scared. But that scared me, because if that, like, the as silly as this, if that driver had a sneezing fit and kind of wobbled the steering wheel, we're all dead.
Yeah.
And like you can't see that. And then there's one element of it. Oh, it's a TV show. Like, we're not gonna die. I'm not gonna get seriously hurt. It's a TV show. But as I said to some people before, it's like that the SAS show, the lunacy what we went through, that blurs the line of TV and real life so much.
Yeah.
Because if the driver gets cramp in his leg, if he has a whatever, like half
even
stroke,
coughs once and just moves an arm or a shoulder.
Yeah, honestly, we're dead, because it was the width of a tire separated us from plummeting to our death.
Completely.
And Bobby, I love you, mate, but I don't want to die with your fingernails in my
head. What a way to go.
Now, I've done a lot of reality shows. And as we know by now, especially because reality shows, it's no longer the new kid on the block. We know what we're kind of getting. We know there's a little bit of whatever when it comes to reality TV. SAS isn't that. And what I respect them because these men and girls in real life SAS, and when I say real life, obviously our DSs, our staff, are real SAS, they were. But they don't give a fuck about the cameras. Like, they're there to, this is their job. They've got an image, like, there's a respect there. So
it's not a tough guy act.
They're not
going,
they're not going to mug themselves off and make something, like, they don't give a shit about the gloss of a TV. And the same with the medical and the psychs there. Again, of course, with all their, it's being filmed, we know that. But if there's something you can't, like an injury, ultimately they're not going to go, well, the show goes on, we're going to push you back in. If someone has to be medically withdrawn or for whatever happens, or someone's psych test doesn't come back good, they have to, that's the duty of care. Channel 4 and the production company that made that are so on point and on the nail with that. Do you know what I mean? Because they're like, ultimately, your safety and your health
that
is more
first
important than a TV show.
Yeah.
And you never see, make me right, and you never get a producer over there. So no one's running and going, oh, this is about to happen. Have that chat. You don't even see cameras in the end. I'm watching this back through fresh eyes on TV. I'm like, fucking hell.
The only time you saw someone outside of the show is, remember this, Bobby, the night, and this really pissed me off. It put me in a really bad mood. The night before last night's task, we climbed that mountain. I haven't seen it yet, but I know that's the what was aired last night. We climbed that silly snow-capped mountain. The night before, we were lying in bed, and the fucking ceiling falls down. Remember that, Bobby? They cut that bit out, didn't they? They didn't put that in. The fucking ceiling fell down. We're sitting there, right? And go, about to go to bed, then Chris Robshaw went, I think the ceiling's fell down. And then the ceiling, like, I don't know, the ceiling, that obviously wasn't part of the show. I mean, shoddy craftsmanship happened on the ceiling. And then we had to leave, and we just, well, say comfortable. We got as comfortable as you could be in that silly situation. We had to leave and go sleep in the dining room, which was bolted. Because at least in that, in our digs, we had like a little fire if we kept it going. It's kind of warmish. In the digs, it was Baltic, like so cold.
Then
we got up and do the silly test. So when they came in and ushered us out. They're the only real people we saw throughout the whole course. And it was weird.
Because the boys, we was put into like the kitchen. What do they call that? I forgot the army name for what our kitchen's.
Mess, was it mess?
The mess, yeah. So we was in there and the girls was in the doctor's room. But again, to be fair to production, the minute they heard it, because obviously lights go out when they know the last person's going to bed. And of course, it wasn't part of the show, so they haven't put that in. But we heard this noise, and like Ant says, so that kind of happened. And then I think a couple of us were talking in the dark. Now, we're being watched 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it took seconds for someone in the production office to whack the lights up. So they they had to come in. So it's not that they broke the fourth wall. They kind of had to because the ceiling came in on us.
You know what I mean?
And no one was hurt. It all got sorted. And thank God that the crew and the team there got it sorted by the next day. I forgot that was the day before the mountain. But Anne, I've got to talk to you about the mountain because I think you've spoke about... Well, I don't know if you spoke about it before, but somehow it got into the press shortly after we got back from the UK. Unless you had said something to someone... But that you called a cameraman a cunt and threatened to throw him off.
Well, listen, talk me through this.
So you're going, and this is again a steep fucking mountain. I think it's like 3 miles, 4 miles up, and we're carrying kilos of equipment. I don't know what's a fucking tire, bullets, guns. Not real bullets and guns, I'm guessing. So obviously, what happened the night before happened. We then go trekking up this mountain. You see a cameraman. Now, what goes through your head? Because you don't... Do you instantly think, cunt, I'm going to throw him off? Or talk me through it, because I didn't see this happen.
Well... So, the ceiling thing happened, I was in a bad mood. Like, in my personal life, I was going through a bit of a difficult time. Going through a divorce. Life is a bit difficult. And I kind of underestimated how much that show was going to push me emotionally. I'm not going to lie, he's always been a fucking cunt. He was. He pissed me off, right? So we get there, and the whole thing, the whole establishment was pissing me off. And I spend 2 hours in the car with Marnie. And Marnie, I love Marnie. She's such a lovely girl. Fuck me sideways. Goodness me. She had this thing in there that she was going to quit. And what you don't see on this show, we spent 2 hours driving that mountain. I have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what's going on. Me and Marnie in the car together, and she complained every second of the 2 hours. Like, Marnie, listen. We're gonna be a tag team here. Just have my back. Just help. We'll do it. Yeah. 2 hours of trying to make to convince her to stay. And in fairness to her, we got there right, and she was on her period, and she was time for a piss and change her tampon. She says this. She says to the driver, "Go, listen, I need to go to the toilet. There's a toilet there. Let me change." And he went, "Oh yeah, you can change in a minute." But in the car, about 30 minutes, just waiting there for them to get to set the task up. And then Billingham opens the door, shouting, "Oh, you fucking can't hear!" And it kicks off and it starts. She needs a piss. I need a piss. She goes, "Oh, I'm leaving." She jacks in. She quits. I'm like, "Oh no!" 2 hours of me using all my energy to keep her to stay just totally wasted. And then I had to kind of run, and I thought, "Fuck!" I had a chip on my shoulder, and I was running. And I was in the lead for ages, just on my own, just giving it like a lunatic. And then the cameraman kept getting in my way. He kept like trying to get the good shot. He was kind of, no, he's going right in front of me. So like making me having to stop. And because it's so snowy up there, every time you stop, got to start again. I go, mate, I can't just back up a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Just back up. And he was like, whatever. And some of the cameraman bobbies, remember, like they wouldn't talk to us, but have a little chat here and there, like a little smile or whatever. This geezer was a job's worth. Like, and ultimately, what pissed me off was I was dying for a wee. So I've been on this thing now for about an hour. I have no idea where the finish line is. Marnie's left. She's nice, clean knickers and had a piss now. I still haven't had a piss. I said, "Oh, mate, just help me take my bag off." And the way I had to strap my bag on, the backpack, because it was a two-man job. Like, stacking, you had to stack the sled, put our gear on. And I did it all by myself.
On top of having our Birkins as well.
Yeah. So I strapped up the bag properly incorrectly, and I had to take it off to get it back on. But as a one-person job, I couldn't do it. And I was dying for a wee. And I thought, you know what? I'll wee over the cliff and I'll crack on with the thing. But of course, I couldn't even get my water bottle from the Birkin. So I couldn't undo it. So I said to the cameraman, I said, "Just unclip this for me, please, mate." And he ignored me. So, "Mate, just unclip it for me, please. I need to take the bag off and go for a wee." And he ignored me. I go, "Mate, come on, just fucking..." I said, "Fuck, how much further have we got to go? I need a wee." This prick, I said, "Don't make me piss myself. Please, please don't make me piss myself." And then, like, he just filmed me as I stood there and just pissed myself. No. And I was so degrading, right? And that annoyed me so. And I had a massive chip on my shoulders and a bad mood. And then when I wanted to piss myself, he was, whoa, started giving me a little bit of lip back. I go, "Oh, fuck you, mate." He said, fuck me back. Oh, yeah. I said something like, "If I get older here, I'm going to throw off the cliff, you cunt." Something like that. But it was kind of said funny. I was obviously joking. I was obviously joking, obviously. Right?
But was anyway. You, man? I don't know if he was.
I wouldn't harm a fly. Anyway, so what annoyed me was, I was in a bad mood, and I got to the top. I was so chuffed. I was so proud of myself. I got to the top. I got there. And the guy was there. I was, oh, master, sorry about it earlier. I was in a bad mood. So we had a, I think I gave him a hug, whatever. Nice and relaxed.
In your pissy trousers.
My pissy trousers, which now turned to ice.
Yeah.
Icicles on my leg. And then we got back to base. And then if you remember, they called us all out. They made some people go do the chickens or clean the toilets. And there was just me. And they fucking bollocked me. And they ran me round base. Oh, my
you
goodness.
You got basted hard. Talk us through that basting. What exactly did you go through in that? Because obviously, to be fair to the show, Channel 4, they can only put out an hour's episode twice a week. So, yeah. And we're there full on 24/7.
So we don't see the full
So we don't get to, because the show would be 3 weeks. So it would just be a live, I would kind of love a live stream of us on SAS for 3 weeks. So I don't know how much we're going to see that, but what was that basting? Because I know it was pretty hardcore. I remember going to dry my spare boots and trousers, and I thought, fuck, what's this geezer's getting a basting.
Jazzy, I thought they wanted me to quit, and Shaz, on the back of a 3 hour trek up this mountain, by the way, I was bollocked already, and I think Shazia had a bit of a panic attack. She thought they were going to kill me and I wasn't going to quit. But, mate, burpees, running around in and out the ice bath, pull-ups, press-ups, burpees. And, like, I was wearing all the heavy stuff, could barely breathe. I was so tired. But what pissed me off, like, wasn't the physical stuff. They told me off, and I felt like I was a six-year-old. Like, I felt like I got pulled into the headmaster's office in year one. And they said to me, oh, you're a fucking bully. You're a fucking bully. And I went, why am I a bully? And you called him a cunt and threw him off the cliff. I was like, oh, you say it like that. Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it don't sound great, no.
It wasn't like that. And what annoyed me, the second I finished that thing, I apologized to the guy and we had a little chat and it was fine. So he's either grasped on me or someone's grasped me up. And that annoyed me because I'd apologized already. And he made me piss myself.
So do you have any regrets about that then?
No, I don't think about it. It doesn't matter. I think we had a chat about it because I got released into the Sun and then I was in the headlines and stuff. And then I had to speak to the production company and they said they weren't going to show any of it because it wasn't part of the show. He's obviously a cameraman. But they should have shown it. It would have been funny. It was a funny point. It's funny. And also, it would have shown, I wanted them to show me getting beasted because I mean, I think I look quite tough doing it and I don't give up and I carry on. And it was a nothing point. It was a little thing and it was just funny. And the guy was cool. But then I felt bad. I thought, I didn't like getting called a bully because I've never been a bully in my entire life. Ever. In my entire life. It was crosswords. And he called me a dickhead or something. It wasn't all one way. He gave me some shit as well.
So I've got to ask you, like, who surprised you the most? Did you have me... misconceptions of people, and I guess as humans we kind of eye people up a little bit and go, right, well, I think you're strong, you're weak, you're gonna be good, you'll be fucking shit.
Yeah,
who shocked you the most?
Mate, you know what? I take people as I find them, you know. Yeah. I don't read news headlines or articles because it's all bullshit. I don't look at Instagram and go, that person's this because they posted that. That's all bullshit. I take people as I find them. But who surprised me the most? Because I have that philosophy, no one really surprises me. But who impressed me the most, I'm not just saying it, mate, I told you this personally, was you. Remember I sent you a nice text after the show. Like, you impressed me so much. You went on this beautiful story arc throughout the whole show, man. And it was beautiful to watch. And that Trinasium, I mentioned to my missus last night, actually, my sister last night. Missus and my sister get that confused. Fuck this, bro. Could be misconstrued. I said to my family yesterday, I said, had that Trinasium been at the end of the show, I don't think you'd have completed it, but you'd have done it. You'd have got on that walkway for sure. Because your growth, mate, was unbelievable. The Bobby that went... Bobby's fingernails in my thigh up the mountain was a very different Bobby to the Bobby that left. And I'm not going to give anything away the rest of the show, man, but your growth is beautiful. It was great to see. Shazia, I mean, Ovi was a cool dude. Ovi really surprised me how cool he was. I liked Ovi. He was
yeah,
great.
I loved Ovi. Was a,
He was somebody
man
that...
a few words, but so much respect for him. Like,
amazing.
Highly, like, he's got morals and class. Like, when he, whatever he says, he don't just, you don't get a word salad from over. You don't just chat shit, do you know what I mean? Like, he's very, like, deep. And I love that about him.
Yeah. And what I liked about Obi was, like, you know, on parade, everyone panics, everyone gets their armbands and the hats and stuff. Obi, there's one or two of the group that was always like, hey, your armband's upside down, or hey, don't... It was more about just themselves, and he was somebody who was more than just...
He was a team player. And thank you so much, mate. I could literally talk to you all night, but I've got to go to my next guest. Thank you so much. Congrats on the little one.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
I hope to see you soon. When you're back in the UK next, let's all meet up. We'll have a little SAS reunion.
Oh, I can't wait. I look forward to it, mate. Well done. Well
take
done,
care. Thank you for everything. Mate. Bye, Anne.
Take care, Anne. Goodbye.
Oh, bless him. Kind man, regardless of calling the cameraman a cunt and threatening to throw him off.
He's all right.
Right, guys, we're going to take another little break, and then we're going to be joined in the studio by Mike Durrant. So we'll see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. Boobah Radio. What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuck boy, like, lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back, guys. It is Access All Areas, and we are on FUBAR Radio. We've just been joined in the studio by Mike from Dating Naked. Mike, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Just a shame about the typical English weather, isn't it?
So, oh, it's shocking, isn't it? I finally come to the conclusion and I've emotionally accepted that this is winter now.
This is it, yeah. Get the Christmas tree out, get the...
Oh, well, I'm not quite there yet.
I'm not there yet.
Although I was in a certain supermarket, and we won't say which one, but they've got a seasonal aisle, and there's advent calendars.
Yeah, I saw it. 1st of September, you see everything, you see tinsel, everything.
Anyway, Christmas aside, just because we can't emotionally, we're not strong enough to deal with that.
We can't
deal with that. So, Mike, let's talk. How have things been since Dating Naked aired? Because it's ended last week, didn't it?
So the show ended last week, last Friday. So it was episode 9 and 10 got released last Friday. I mean, it's been a whirlwind, you know what I mean? Since, like, we filmed in February. So it's been, like, 6 or 7 months since we actually were in the villa. And then now it's more of the case of, like, we have to watch it back to be like, wow, did I actually do this?
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's been a whirlwind experience, especially the whole concept of dating naked. But I've enjoyed every single minute of it, and now it's finished. It's like, what do I do now?
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
after you're done.
You mentioned the concept, because, like, I can imagine if I hear a show like Dating Naked, I'm thinking there's a million and one things going through my head. But when you heard that, what made you want to apply for it? What was the selling point for you that you were like, yeah, I want to do this?
To be honest, they sent to me it was an all-inclusive holiday to South America, so I thought, what's not to like, really?
Exactly,
so
yeah, that's true.
I thought sitting in a villa for a month in the sun, no tan lines. And on a serious note, I think for me, it was the concept behind it. It was the fact that it was more... It was the unknown.
Yes.
I like new challenges. I like trying different things. So the fact that it was, like, a brand new concept, and I was intrigued. That's what it was. It was more like, what can this offer me? How can this be of benefit to me? Can I change the way people date in a day-to-day life? And I think because I hadn't been done in the UK before, I thought, why not?
And also, Mike, let's have it right. You're an extreme boy, so you know you've got a good Corby on you. Because for a lot of people, I mean, good Corby or not, some people are still, especially it's a British thing, I think, isn't it? Some people are quite prudish. People don't like to talk about sex.
Or
naked.
Yeah, and of course.
So to go on a TV show, literally put your balls on the table and go have some of that.
Literally.
Yeah. You've definitely got to have big battles to do a show like that, to be honest. But I think, like I say, it's going back to when I did do the Dream Boys. The Dream Boys, for me, it was a walk in the park. I mean, you've got your Corey out for a matter of 30 seconds to a minute on here, 24 hours a day. And look, you haven't got a dick pump at this point, do you know what I mean? So, you're on a flaccid 24/7.
Do you kind of, not that you forget, but I guess you kind of do, like in the bubble of a TV show, at first it must be a bit weird, but you kind of just get, it would have been weird if you woke up one day and everyone was in a suit. Was you kind of just used to seeing just a load of arse, balls and tits?
To be honest, when you get in there, you are a little bit like, you're going into the unknown a little bit. You haven't got anything to refer back to, like a different show. Like, well, I can do this, I can do that. I know how this works, how that works. Yeah, I was the first lad in. Yeah. I seen Tegan as soon as I walked in. And obviously she was the first naked, the lady that was in the house. And I thought to myself, it was a little bit nerve-wracking because you don't really know what to expect.
Yeah, of course.
And obviously you're living day by day. Like, you don't know what's going to be happening the next hour or the next day. But you do get used to it. I mean, I was the first lad in, so I was like, look, there was another four lads to come in. At the start, there was 5 girls, 5 boys. And then when I seen another lad coming, I thought, I'm not doing too bad.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess there must be something so empowering about that, seeing, like, because, like, being naked is, like, a vulnerable thing.
Yeah.
So did you feel that sense of, like, empowerment? And was that a vibe that you felt from everyone?
I feel like you're all a lot more vulnerable compared to what you think. You think to yourself when you go in, you think, like, How am I going to be? Am I mentally prepared for this? How am I going to react? Am I going to enjoy it, the experience? And then once everyone's in there, like the girls and the boys and everyone's just having a bit of a natter, it's like something switches in your head. Like, I've seen everything now. Quick little look, bang.
Exactly, it's done.
Onto the next scene, do you know what I mean? So, and that's what it was like for me. It was the fact that when you had sort of seen it, it's mad how crazy that the mind actually adapts in them situations, because realistically nothing actually exists on the outside. You're just in there in
that
the moment
bubble.
Yeah,
and everyone's in the same position as you, and that's what I loved about it.
Do you think you was at an advantage, because obviously you used to go out with Chloe Ferry, for anyone listening, so Geordie Shore, so you know how TV works. What's the situation with you and Chloe? Is it still friendly, or is it like...
I mean, me and Chloe had a relationship when I was very young, do you know what I mean? 18, 19, and me and Chloe just stayed stayed friends after that. There wasn't really like
there's anything else. There's no bad feed. Did she give you any tips on how to do a TV show?
Nah. But I'm mates with quite a few, like the lot from Geordie Shore.
Oh, nice.
And I think for me, it was, I never really asked for any tips. I just went in there. I was just myself.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, I do feel like I've got a big enough personality just to enjoy myself anyways.
Big enough everything.
Yeah. But I think for me, I didn't go in with a game plan. I just thought, you know
that's,
what?
That's
just thought,
what works best, I think.
Yeah, I thought, fuck it. I went, whatever happens, happens at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you know what? I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. I wouldn't do anything differently. I don't regret anything. Like, I wouldn't change anything. I think, you know what? My experience in there was absolutely phenomenal.
Amazing.
So.
And that's so refreshing as well, because when you see some people go on TV shows with this agenda of like, I want to get a brand deal, I want to get this.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
of
just
course.
Want to go, just go, we need more people just to go in just to enjoy the experience.
Yeah, and so, no game plans. Yeah. Just literally
exactly.
Take it for what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. I think the experience in itself was enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, of course, there was a big cash prize at the end that everyone wanted to win. Mm. But for me, I feel like, and I said this at the end of the show, I was like, I felt like I'd already won. Do you know what I mean? I had found a connection at the end of the show. I had such a good experience. Mm. Like, I'd done something that nobody in the UK has actually done before either. So it was unbelievable.
Amazing.
So you said you had a connection at the end of the show. Where do things stand now? Are you together? Spill some tea. It's called Access All Areas, my show, and I like to access all areas. So what can you give me? Any exclusives?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, the show finished. We finished filming. It was start of March. I was with Tion. So Tion's actually from Australia. So when we left the show, we did have a bit of a discussion, like, look, we've got a good connection here. But remember, everyone only sees, like, 10 hours,
snippets.
Do you know what I mean? 45 minutes on an episode from like a three and a half week like filming process.
Yeah.
So for 3.5 weeks, even in the real world, it isn't enough time to actually get to know someone.
Of course, yeah.
And you're building foundations in a reality show where realistically when you leave, you then have to rebuild new foundations in real reality.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we came up with the conclusion of like, look, how do you want to move forward with this? Tion actually was good enough. She actually packed her whole life up in Australia. And I was living in Mallorca at the time. So I said, look, if you want, you can come live with me in Mallorca. We'll try and make something work of it if this is what we both want. So she came over to Mallorca. We were living together for around about 3-4 months. I mean, we took a couple of holidays in Europe first, then moved to Mallorca. Mm-hmm. And then I think, like any relationship, you have your difficulties, you have your moments.
Yeah.
You have to go to work, you've got friends and family. And you do come across real life situations where inside the villa, it's like, that's the only thing that exists.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to that in the real world. And me and Tion just basically just mutually decided to look at that. The relationship wasn't working anymore. And I think in a relationship these days, there has to be like a strong compatibility between two people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I feel like she had a life in Australia, I had a life in the UK. And I think we're just like, at the end of the day, we just decided mutually that it wasn't really working out anymore. And she just decided to go back to Australia. So It was. I had such a good time with Tion. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
I have no. We're left on good terms.
Yeah.
Really nice girl. I think she's got a good future ahead of herself. And I think for me, it was just the fact that it just wasn't working anymore.
Yeah, and you gave it a shot.
And
no regrets.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No what ifs. So yeah.
At the end of the show, I got voted third place because people were like, the distance is going to ruin this relationship.
Mm.
But the fact that she actually packed her whole life in Australia to move to Mallorca just shows that anything's possible if you want to make it work.
Of course,
do you mean?
Yeah.
And we both did give it the best, actual good shot. It wasn't just like we left a TV show. It was a little like showman's. Like,
yeah.
We both generally had feelings for each other.
Exactly, yeah.
And honestly, like at the end of that show, like I generally adored that girl. Do you know what I mean? So it just like normal life, just like normal people, things sometimes just don't work
it
out
gets
at the
in
end
the
of the
way.
Day. So.
And at least it was Mallorca, so she weren't too cold, because she would have shit
yeah,
her
exactly.
drawers. If she'd have come to Newcastle, fuck me, she'd have gone, what the fuck
out, up? Like,
I should have been
like, it's blitz, what's going on?
But it was, to be fair, it was more beneficial for her anyways to come to Mallorca,
yeah.
Because in Australia, it was her winter. During our summer, because it's like the
ah, it's a crafty cow,
so
wanted a bit of current,
you know,
bang,
I mean?
Didn't
so
she?
I feel like, at least she got a free holiday out of it, do you know what I mean? So.
She was calculated.
Chasing
the
sun.
No wonder you got shot. When it turned winter in Mallorca, she fucked off again.
Yeah, she was turned winter, she went, oh, so I'm back home now.
I'm going back to summer now, babe.
Because the show hadn't been done before, I didn't know what was going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Never knowing what was going to happen at the end of the season. We didn't know who was going to win the prize, how it was going to be won. Mm. Like realistically, I think everyone can agree who done the show that You could play a game in theory if you wanted, because the only game you really could have played was if someone came in that had immunity, you could then lock onto them and say, this person could save me to get to the final.
Yeah.
That was realistically the only game plan you could play. I mean, now people, and if there was a season two, for example, people could look back at season one and go, this is how I would do things this time.
Exactly, yeah.
Where we never had to.
I think, like you said, I think the audience and the public, it's not a new concept, reality TV exactly. now. And people aren't stupid, and I think it's actually pretty disrespectful to the audience and the public when people think that they can fucking go in with a game plan, manipulate something, and think that the audience are fucking Dolly Dimple and they're going to buy into it. Yeah. And they're like, no, we know what time it is. We know what you're doing. I've got to ask you, Mike, how have you found being have you been recognised much? Because obviously you're wearing clothes now, people ain't seeing the Corey hanging, man. But what are they saying on social media? Because it's a new concept to the UK, isn't it?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
people taken to it over here?
I'm very surprised. It's actually been a very positive input that I've had, really. I mean, I'm on TikTok doing lives every day. I'm on the social medias. I'm doing, like, the DN UK sort of questionnaires. And people are actually enjoying the show. There's not, like, any sort of... I thought to myself, how am I going to be portrayed after the show?
Of course, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? For doing such a show like Dating Naked. But for me, I feel like the audience has took it pretty well.
Yeah.
I definitely think they could... I think from my part, I think there's a lot more to it than what meets the eye, more than anything.
Yeah.
So
definitely, because people might have their misconceptions when they hear the title Dating Naked. And
yeah,
think,
of course.
That's a bit crass, that's a bit scandalous.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
there's actually more to it than that.
Yeah.
There's layers to it about, like, romance and everything.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, and I think you're so right. Like, people, the title, but I think people are getting slightly better because we've still got this, everyone thinks, especially from abroad, how prim and proper British having their tea and their afternoon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or with our little
pinky
out.
Yeah.
But it's 2024, guys. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, we have to roll with the times.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm glad that people have taken to it.
I think because the show at the minute is only out in UK, Canada, in Australia. So, I mean, I had this one group of Hindus when I was in Newcastle a couple of weeks ago. And she went, oh, I didn't recognise you without your clothes on. With your clothes on, and that was like the only thing I had. But apart from that, I mean, social media took a good interest to it. And I mean, apart from that, I've been having fun with it. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
So,
how
yeah.
have you found watching it back? Like you say, it was pre-recorded quite a bit in advance. Are you happy with the edit and the final cuts of things? Because you've touched upon already, and the way TV works, where things are being filmed 24/7. Production can only put out so much, about 44
exactly,
minutes
yeah,
per
yeah.
episode. By the time you do all your ads and everything. So they're very limited to how to build an episode.
Of course.
How do you find watching that series back now? Was it all pretty much spot on, or do you feel like there were certain bits that you wish had have been in there?
I think it was pretty spot on. I think everyone was displayed how I seen it in person.
Yeah.
And remember, like, we were in there filming for 3.5 weeks, but we only get 45 minutes per episode, so sometimes 2 days was covered maybe in one episode. Mm. So for me, I think the only thing that could have changed was maybe making the series a little bit longer, maybe like having 14 episodes, just to portray people a little bit more.
Yeah.
And for people to from like the audience point of view, to actually see what people's characters are really like, because realistically, if I'm getting to know you and I'm sat down with you now and I get to know you for 10 hours trying to get to know someone isn't enough time.
Exactly.
No.
You know what I mean? But I think for me, how it got edited, what was conceived inside the show, I think was a true validation on everyone, to be honest. So,
is there a WhatsApp group with all of you?
There is a WhatsApp group.
Has anyone left yet?
I've left multiple times, to be honest.
Why have you left the WhatsApp group?
Do you know what? To be honest, right? I'm one of these types of people, I say it very straight. If I don't agree with someone, I'm like, you know what, I don't agree with this. Do you know what I mean? I'm not wanting to keep me emotions, and I'm like, look, I don't agree with this, or I agree with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get caught up in too much drama. Do you know what I mean? A little bit too much drama, where I'm like, you know what, fuck this WhatsApp group chat, I'm off out of here. Then a week later, I'll be missing it a little bit, like, oh, Ben Hodges back in. Ben Hodges back in. And then there's a bit more drama, and I'm like, but I do, the thing is, with the WhatsApp group chat, I do like to leave it to ground myself a little bit because sometimes it feels like I'm going back into the show.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it feels like I'm reliving the past a little bit.
Touch grass a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes I do leave it because it is nice just to get away from it all as well. Mm. As much as it is nice being in that environment and chatting with people in there from like diverse places from around the world and people who have done like that experience with you, it is nice just sometimes to take yourself away from it as well.
Oh, so literally time for one quick question because I've literally got to end the show in 1 minute. You said you left because people fuck you off. Who fucked you off the most in the group chat that made you leave? Spill some tea. What's the unseen tea of the old WhatsApps?
To be honest, you know what? I mean, the only person I really had drama with was Dan on the show. Me and Dan didn't really get on very well. We didn't really see eye to eye. I don't really think he's got a bad bone in his body, to be honest. I think for me, when people piss us off, I just get pissed off. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. And I can imagine in an environment like that, yeah, sometimes exactly. You just want...
It's a lot more heightened. Everything's a lot more heightened and a lot more emotions are involved as well. So, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I've got actually... I get on with everyone now. There's no sort of, like, animosity between anyone in the group. Everyone gets on really well. But apart from that... I'll be back in next week, so
thank you so much for coming in, Mike. Been an absolute pleasure. Stella, thank you so much for being my amazing co-host. I've loved it. Thank you guys always for tuning in and listening, and we'll be back this time next week. Until then, ta-da.